Good morning. I hope you're having a fine Sunday morning. Welcome back to another edition today of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host from the Dayton Daily News, Ron Rollins, and I am in the studio with a returning guest. You've been here at least once, an old friend, Stuart McDowell, who is the chair and artistic director of the Wright State University Department of Theater, Dance, and Motion Pictures. And how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ron. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well. Now, you were here about a year and a half ago to talk about all the renovation and reconstruction that's going on physically at the Performing Arts complex of buildings down at Wright State. And we're kind of here to update that today, but actually you had a pretty big week.
It was a fun week. We had this guy come into town.
Who does not know about the guy? What was his name? That guy, the famous guy who was here.
Man of many faces.
That's right. So Tom Hanks was in town. He's a friend of yours, and he came to help launch the new motion picture department building, which is named after him.
It bears his name, the Tom Hanks Center for Motion Pictures at Wright State University. It's a newly expanded, renovated building that's blue, like a GNC blue.
And heck, why not?
Why not? And he cut the ribbon on Tuesday afternoon in front of a couple hundred people. It was so much fun.
And he got here Monday night, right? And stayed
Monday afternoon. Monday afternoon, he flew into the Wright Brothers Airport down south. And
so tell us the whole itinerary.
I was there. I was sort of his host on several occasions because I was the guy who invited him to come on the behest of the president of the university, David Hopkins.
Right.
Brilliant move on his part. He said, Stu, you got to get Tom to come to town to dedicate this thing. And so we decided to double it up because the company that Tom runs in Santa Monica, that he started a couple of decades ago called Playtone, mm-hmm. bought the rights to David McCullough's new book, The Wright Brothers, best-selling book.
Right. Fabulous.
And they're going to make a series of that, either six or eight different episodes or so.
For HBO,
yeah, and
right.
Playtone. And so, double whammy. He came into town with several of his people from Playtone, a writer and a producer. McCullough came into town with one of his.
And that was the second time he's been here in the last year.
It was indeed. Right. And they spent time up in the archives up in the Wright State, which has a major holding of the Wright Brothers material.
Right.
After the Smithsonian in Washington. So they came in. So Tom came in for 36 hours. He flew into the Wright Brothers thing, airport down there. He watched the Wright B flyer or whatever number it is fly around, buzz around the airport. He mm-hmm. went to Carillon Park and saw the plane there.
The Wright Flyer 3.
Yeah, was that the 3? You know your history.
The world's first practical aircraft.
There you go, and he appreciates that.
I'm on the board of Dayton History.
They actually had him lean in there, the head of the Carillon Park, lean in there and grab a hold of Orville's hips and shift him back and forth to watch that wing warp.
Yeah,
it was that cradle they leaned in.
People forget how they actually piloted that plane, and it was beyond astonishing.
You know the old thing when you're a kid, when you rub your tummy and pat your head and do it, kind of funny stuff with your face? Well, the Wright Brothers had to do that to make that puppy fly.
Yeah. If people are not quite following, they had a little cradle that they laid on the wing.
Right.
And he would shift his hips back and forth to move there were no ailerons. They were shifting the shape of the wing.
That wing warp was the secret
incredible.
To the stability of
and
the
And Hanks
plane.
Wanted to know all that because he is kind of putting all that in his brain pan mm-hmm. for preparing to do this historical show about
this. This is something people don't know about Hanks. He's a transformational, brilliant actor, 2 Academy Awards, Emmy Awards, but he's also very curious.
Yeah.
He didn't finish college, but he's smart. Well, neither did the Wright Brothers didn't finish high school.
That's true, they didn't. Yeah.
And a lot of the very smart people, go their own course. Anyway, he's very curious, so we went to the Carillon Park. Then the rest of the entourage went to West Village and mm-hmm. saw those buildings there.
Got it right, Dunbar. Yeah, right.
Right.
He was at the Wright Factory too.
He was at the Wright Factory.
Newly uncovered
around.
Off 35 there. Yeah.
All that stuff. He went to a big celebrative dinner at the Air Force Museum. Mm-hmm. He wanted to see every plane there because he knows so much about everything. He's done movies about World War II.
That's
doing
true.
A new movie about World War II. The Air Force was then the Army Air Force.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's doing a new thing. I forgot which book it is. It's not a McCullough book. There's a new book about the planes in the air for the Americans, and he's very passionate about that. He's doing several projects through Playtone. So
he has a movie opening this week at the Neon Movies too.
It's
which looks really kind of like an odd caper.
Interesting.
It's a guy going to
Saudi Arabia to sell the king of Saudi Arabia a hologram,
right? For video conferencing,
and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a
looks
kind
like
of
a love story too. And
the previews look fabulous.
I saw him last night for the first time, yeah.
We went to Berlin. As a matter of fact, this whole Tom Hanks presence here has to do with the time he was shooting that a year and a half ago, two years ago, this May, okay. when he was shooting A Hologram for the King in Berlin with the director there in Berlin, the green right. screen work, and so forth and so on. It looks very interesting. I cannot wait to see it at the Neon.
I will say that the reaction my wife and I had to the trailer was that if it wasn't Tom Hanks in that movie, there's no way we would have been interested in. It seemed like too much of a caper. I'm sure it's a good movie because Tom Hanks is in it. But
totally.
But it's also like the trailer was one where we're like, we're pretty sure that's going to be a great movie because Tom Hanks is in it,
right.
which I think speaks to the power of Tom Hanks.
Right.
If he's in it, you know, well, I kind of want to see that. And there's not that many actors like that anymore.
Well, there's no other actor I can think of right now who plays the American everyman so well.
Right.
He's like Jimmy Stewart of our era right now. He's not really that sort of nails it because Stewart was that quintessential everyman when you think of the movies he did. You know, and he plays the failed, you know, marketing businessman out there in Saudi Arabia. It looks like a lot of fun.
Well, you take a movie like Bridge of Spies, and it's like you can't really imagine anybody else doing that role.
Totally.
That in a way that would keep your interest in it through the course of that movie, because it's a good movie.
Right.
I really enjoyed it, but I think it's like so much better because it's Tom Hanks doing it, and you just sort of like, once you see him come on, you're like, you're in.
Yeah,
you know, it's
I love
really
that
cool.
movie.
And now, so explain the original connection of him to Wright State. I mean, this didn't come out of the blue. This is the culmination of a relationship that goes back some time.
Yes, it begins with him at the Great Lakes Shakespeare Festival for 3 years, becoming their lead actor and winning their award up there in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Then going to New York and can't beg a job. He was auditioning for 6 months and finally stumbled into our little fledgling company, the Riverside Shakespeare Company, that I started with my wife, Gloria Skirsky, back in 77.
Mm-hmm.
And he auditions for, of all things, Machiavelli's The Mandrake, and plays Calimaco, the romantic comic lead, wearing a partial mask and a lot of improvisation and funny stuff. But he got his agent from that, who took him to Hollywood, who got him into Bosom Buddies, that old TV show that got him on Happy Days for a couple of things. And then Ron Howard said, let's do a movie that I've got called Splash.
I remember it.
Which was the movie that was a sleeper of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful movie. And then his career becomes mercurial, just takes off, shoots way off. But then one of ours, that's connection number one. Number two, so we produced a show in New York that got him his agent that helped launch his career.
You and your wife.
My wife and I, Gloria Skirsky.
Which is Gloria Skirsky, who works at Think TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
Public television.
Co-founded the theater company in New York. We're Berkeley grads. And then when the company came from a bunch of unemployed Berkeley grads playing baseball at Sheep's Meadow back in 77. And we let's put on a play. And
hey, kids.
Hey, kids, is right. So exactly correct. So then along comes about a decade and a half, 2 decades later, Eric Bork graduates from Wright State in motion pictures, moves to L.A., and eventually ends up being a script reader for Playtone, Tom's company,
right.
And Tom sort of discovers Eric among his stable of people who are reading scripts. And Eric eventually ends up being the supervising producer for two Emmy Award-winning series from Earth to the Moon and Band of Brothers,
right.
Which is just beyond terrific.
Oh, and I love Band of Brothers.
So
wife and I have been through it like seven or eight times.
It's
phenomenal. Yeah.
Totally phenomenal.
That's an amazing show.
Playtone, not to digress, when he was in town recently...
Stuart, this show is only all about digression. All we do. It's
okay.
Fine. Take it away. Go.
I was in Omaha. I was buying a hot dog. No. So I've never been to Omaha. So anyway, when you want to digress, you can forget what we're talking about here.
Band of Brothers.
So Bork, is supervising producer of that. He wins an Emmy along with Spielberg and Hanks.
Right.
So when I come to town and find out that there was this guy who had graduated before I got to Wright State in Motion Pictures, Eric Bork, it was the double connection. So I began to explore connections. Hanks eventually creates a scholarship in his name. He does lots of fundraising activities, tea with Tom on the set of Angels and Demons in Rome, and two people bid $40,000 each for four people each to go to Rome to have tea with Tom on the set and so forth. And we begin to foster this relationship with Hanks that has just been lots of fun.
Well, and he knows the Midwest, too. He's not one of those East Coast guys who's never heard of Ohio.
Yeah, he loves the Cleveland Indians because he spent 3 years up there.
So you have this, the biggest star in the world has this semi-accidental but not forgotten by him relationship with this little old university in the Midwest.
Oh, and I forgot the first thing.
Yeah.
While he was at Great Lakes Shakespeare Festival, he toured Ohio with a version of Two Gentlemen of Verona and playing Proteus, not the comic character, but sort of the villain romantic of that.
Right.
And performed on the stage of the Festival Playhouse at Wright State.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
So when I did a talk back with him on Tuesday morning in front of 300 kids in our festival theater.
He had been on that stage.
So I began it with a little...
When he was their age.
When he was their age. So that was the whole gist of my talk back.
I did not know that.
And I had, and we did a talk back on Tuesday morning to go back to that scenario from that digression of the digression of the digression.
We're still on course. That's good.
We're still on course. And that morning, Tuesday morning, he went to Huffman Prairie.
Yeah.
I walked the field with him with Amanda Wright Lane, who's the co-chair of the Wright State's campaign.
Who's a great campaign. Great grandniece of Orville Wilbur, right?
And McCullough was there. David was, we all walked around and all that kind of stuff. And then he came in and did a talk back, and then he did a lunch with the Tom Hanks scholars. There are six of them on campus. Wow. And then he went to the archives at Wright State with McCullough and looked through those with the gang, then cut the ribbon and with a celebrative.
He met one of my heroes, Dawn Dewey, who runs your archives. Dawn's
Isn't
great.
She great? She's totally
fabulous.
Great.
Yeah.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. I've had her in the paper a number of times on the Ideas and Voices page. And
she's
so smart, and she knows so much.
And I've worked with her on the Great Dayton Flood Play and all that stuff.
Great fun.
She was a hoot. So it was the Wright brothers and then Wright State back and forth. We mixed them up, and then that afternoon he cut the ribbon after a couple of funny remarks and in front of the Tom Hanks Center for Motion Pictures, and then huge gala that night that raised money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet how much, but a lot of money for the Tom Hanks Scholarship and Visiting Artist Fund. Mm-hmm. So that whole big gala at the Nutter Center where he spoke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was a big fundraiser for the arts.
That's really cool.
He's a mensch, as they say in Yiddish.
Well, you know, of course he would be. Yeah.
He's a real person.
So let's talk a little bit about. Let's remind people about the motion picture program out of Wright State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know about it because I know a lot of people who've worked in it and were on faculty and stuff, and through Film Dayton connections and stuff. But remind people, it's not just a little old department at Wright State. It has a fairly national profile for the kind of graduates it turns out, and it's not big either, right?
Graduates it turns out, and the faculty who teach there, Julia Reichert's taught there, Steve Bognar, Chuck Derry, these people have, you know, and Jim Klein and so forth have written, produced, and a lot of documentaries, mostly documentary work, that have been Academy Award nominated, like The Last Truck, the closing the GM plant, which was Academy Award nominated film that Tom saw. I sent him a copy of that, and he wrote this glowing record.
That's interesting.
He kept referring to it in several speeches when he was here Tuesday about, and The Last Truck, I remember that film.
Right.
You know, because he's also, Tom is very conscious of the middle class, the working man, some of the problems that have happened in the Midwest and throughout this country with plant closings. There's a very, very present theme that's running through the political campaign this year.
Right.
Is that what's happened to all that international globalization and so forth? So those faculty and then students like Eric Bork and others who have gone to Hollywood, many of them stayed in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them helped to get the tax rebates or variant, you know, waivers for actually support for films that come to Ohio. A lot of that's come from our students.
Sure.
And he appreciates that. So, and the other thing about our program is it's undergraduate.
Right.
There's no graduate. B, it's in-state tuition, so it's not crazy USC, NYU,
right.
Carnegie Mellon, Northwestern expenses. So people can get an undergraduate degree that's affordable. Our students tend to make, we like to say they make films that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are independent filmmakers that, like their faculty, they have a conscience about what they're making. Some of these films are profoundly personal, and also it's a medium with a message.
And every graduate has to create, there's like a capstone filmmaking project that after they have spent years learning the craft and art of filmmaking, but not the froofy stuff. They're not taking a bunch of film history classes, and they're not. There's that underpinning, but they're actually learning how to make movies in terms of like the editing, the lighting, the sound, the very practical stuff of doing it. And they all have to make a short subject, a documentary of like at least 30 minutes or something.
Well, let's go back a step. What makes our program unique is that it's affordable.
Right.
It's open admission on the freshman level.
Right.
We often have 70 or 80 kids, and by the time I graduate, maybe down to about a dozen or less.
Okay.
But the important thing is that most programs either focus strongly on theory and history,
right.
watch a lot of films,
right.
appreciation, or on production.
Right.
Ours does both. Their first
okay.
year, they watch a lot of films,
right.
foreign films, silent films, films in the 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, that otherwise people don't know where
right.
actually everything that they do in filmmaking now has been invented before.
Right.
And they learn how to deal with this and talk about these films articulately.
Well, and they're learning the vocabulary of where things came from.
Exactly,
yeah,
correct,
right.
the vocabulary. So then they have their production that beginning their sophomore year and their junior year working on sound, which is much more important than film than in filmmaking than most people realize. They think it's a visual medium, which it is,
right.
But about 70 or 80% of all the sound you hear in a movie that mm-hmm. you see is probably not actual film that's generated, you know, on the location.
Right.
It's done in post-production, as they
right.
say. Learning how to craft that and tell the story. And then you end up with great storytellers is what you do.
Isn't there junior year, isn't there a small
yep.
mini festival that you guys
yep.
do for them where they
it's called Documentary Night,
and they're just are they is that the one where they just do film the sound tracks?
They can some of them do other personal little vignette kind of 10-minute autobiographical pieces or pieces about people they know, but yeah, but they have to do at one point an audio, you know,
an audio picture, pretty much
audio exactly
and everybody goes and just sort of listens with the lights out and you just hear
it's
the sound.
Amazing.
It's kind of magical because
it
you're
is.
Looking at a blank screen with the student name.
It is.
And then you're hearing the story, and it's the closest approximation to it would be something on NPR, maybe.
You're actually right.
But it's longer than that, and
yeah.
it's really cool. So they get the whole package out there, and Tom apparently mm-hmm. appreciates that. Talk about the new facility.
It's we're finishing phase two, and we had the art scale up about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
But people got to see the new art museum that's on the front of the building, and the iconic entrance there, the new dance ballet studio that has it's half again as big as any room we had before because it has a viewing space, mm-hmm. seats that pull out, 100 people can watch, a Pilates room, exercise room, which is huge to have that state of the art, and then another movement combat room. But that was
well,
finished.
No, explain that, the combat room.
Well, for example, one of our faculty, Bruce Cromer,
mm-hmm.
leading actor in the area in Cincinnati, has won a number of awards, plays Scrooge down every for like 15 or 20 years down at the Cincinnati Playhouse mm-hmm. every year, leading a classical actor, is trained to teach stage combat. And we underestimate the value mm-hmm. of getting that kind of training, physical training, while people are in school here. Some of our students go out and become fight choreographers.
Really?
Because we're one of the few programs in the nation that offers a certificate in stage combat. We
really?
Bring an outside adjudicator in.
Oh,
it just happened about a week ago.
I didn't know that.
Okay. And he watches these young students, you know, do there's four or five different kinds of stage combat with, you know, with daggers, rapiers, broadsword, hand to hand.
Wow.
All that combat. When you see these plays, you know, either on
right.
film or in the theater, you say, oh, they learned that for this show. Well, the better ones have had training before.
Right, right.
And
if you just think every Shakespeare play has some sword fight or some
well,
violence.
Well, even Sammy the
yeah.
Shrew has some physical stuff
right,
going
exactly.
on, you know.
So, yeah,
it's very important. These kids love it.
So now there's part of what you've added is like an entire studio.
An entire room. He won't have to do stage combat on it in the parking lot he's been doing, you know. I tell people when they get their certificate, they're trained to go to deal with the streets of New York, you know, which is a joke because New York is not what it used to be when I went there.
I was
going
to say, it's a lot safer than it used to be.
Much safer than it used to be. I never had to scuffle. Anyway, so... that's a new room. And then this summer, phase three, the final stage, where they go back and they fully renovate the lobby. There's going to be more classroom space in there. All the classrooms are being renovated and
mm-hmm.
updated.
Mm-hmm.
My office will actually have some new paint put on the walls.
That's
I'm
good.
So excited.
Paint's important.
Say, paint's
yeah.
important. So that'll happen this summer. So beginning in the fall, mm-hmm. in our next season, people walk into a fully renovated, complete creative arts center. People who have not been there before are going to be swept away. We have a facility now
mm-hmm.
that has finally caught up in all three of my areas, theater, dance, and motion pictures, but also art and music,
mm-hmm.
that has finally caught up to the level that our students and faculty have maintained for the past several years.
That's really cool. We should tell people what they're listening to in case you are just joining us.
Yeah.
Welcome on this Sunday morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Miami Valley Voices, and on this Cox station, I'm Ron Rollins, your host, and we're here with Stu McDowell, who's in charge of the dance, theater, and motion picture department out at Wright State University. And we're talking about Tom Hanks because he was here this week to kick off the renovation of the and opening of the new Motion Pictures building. What was in that? It's repurposing a building that was already there behind the library for that Motion Pictures. What was that building? Was it
part of it was the television studio that they used to use and began to use less and less.
Okay.
Adjoining studios have now been turned into actually a professional level film production facility, which is different than television a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Then classrooms with state-of-the-art facilities and all sorts of different editing suites, a sound studio, which we didn't have before.
Right.
For years, our students were doing these films, and when I arrived, when we were still working on film,
right.
We didn't have any kind of sound facility,
right.
So they had to take their canisters back in those days.
Film, what's that?
Film, is that right? Right. To New York to get them mixed in the post-production.
Oh, really?
Seriously. And then more and more we got better. When equipment became simpler, they went digital, and things became, you didn't have to have steam becks, they used to call them, those little hand crank things for editing and so forth. We were able to economize in the old facility. The new facility is over 3.5 times the size,
right.
The space of what they used
were down
to
in
have.
The basement before, yeah.
Down in the basement of the same building, which will now be turned into rehearsal rooms and a graphics lab for design technology and a sound studio for the main stage.
That's cool.
Which is cool. But meanwhile, the Motion Pictures facility is state of the art.
So if people are trying to figure out if you know the campus a little bit, it's the building it literally is right behind the library, between the library
yep.
and the back of the Creative Arts Center.
Well, actually, as importantly,
right?
if you watched Colbert last night, well, actually,
oh, that's
a couple
right.
nights
Talk about
ago,
that, yeah.
it's blue. It's the only building, you know, I call it GNC blue. I'm not certain that's actually true, but
mention
it's
Colbert.
Stunning blue.
Hanks gave a shout out on Colbert. I haven't seen it yet, but what did he?
Thursday night.
Yeah,
Thursday night
so what did he say?
Well, Colbert pulls out this big picture of the facility with that
really?
Iridescent blue.
I've seen the link. I haven't read it yet.
It's cool. And Hank said, yeah. He says, it's really funny. I got a place to stay when I come back to campus. They're going to put a penthouse for three apartments on the top floor. My students who saw that and immediately started going on Facebook all over the place said, he said 3 rooms. When he was here, he only said 2. He's already expanding his penthouse, which is not going to happen, by the
Those
way.
Those darn spoiled actors.
Exactly. So very funny. He's just very, very funny. So they talked briefly about it, and he had given me a shout out to watch it when he sent me a note on Wednesday afternoon and said, "Watch Colbert tonight." So
or that's cool.
Yeah, but it's I'm telling you, it's through the roof. I mean, between what's happening, Creative Arts Center, Tom Hanks coming, and the presidential debates in September at Wright State.
That's right.
Our enrollment's going to go through the roof.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Do you imagine Hanks's relationship? Ongoing with the university?
And
what does that look like in your hopes?
Well, what do they say at the end of Casablanca, the beginning of a beautiful relationship as they walk off?
Eloy.
Exactly. Claude Rains, one of my favorite actors. So, he's definitely coming back at some point down the line.
Yeah.
He hadn't set foot on the campus since 78 when he had performed that Two Gentlemen of Verona.
He's been busy.
And now he sees what we have there, and he fell in love with the kids. Most of what he did on Tuesday was spend time with the students. One-on-one.
Talk about some of those interactions. Yeah. Well, you got to see a lot of it.
He had lunch with the 6 Tom Hanks scholars, which are in all the areas of our department.
Right.
We had a talk back on the stage where I had one from each area ask him actual questions that I had vetted, as they say, with the students beforehand.
What kind of stuff did they want to know?
They wanted, a young lady asked him, how did you prepare for the role of Forrest Gump?
That's a good question.
It sounds like a very innocent question. He took 25 minutes to go through everything.
Sure.
I mean,
if you think about all the different things that character does, that makes sense. Yeah,
well,
so that's a really good question.
Okay, here's the anecdote. This is really cool. He said, the director said, well, listen, I can't imitate the director, but he started playing the persona of this funny director in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Name escapes me right now. He's a big name.
Was it Zemeckis?
It was Zemeckis. Thank you. Yeah,
Robert
so he
Zemeckis.
Goes in this funny Zemeckis
They've worked
voice.
Together like 3 times.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You've done your homework, Ron.
Castaway
and
what's the other one? Maybe it is only 2. Castaway,
it may be a third, but Gump was big.
Yeah, they filmed him more or less at the same time, I think. But yeah,
the director says, "I want you to get in this head of the character, and there's a little boy here that we're going to audition him, and I want you to train him how you're going to act." So Hanks meets with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that the kid had Forrest Gump's voice. And Ron, I didn't know this myself. Tom says he starts doing the kid's voice, and it's Forrest Gump.
Oh, really?
And the kids start going crazy watching this on Tuesday morning in the theater for an hour and a half. And he said, I realized I had to base my character on that kid.
On a child, yeah.
And he said, but went back to the director and he said, no, you got it wrong. You know, I'm going to learn everything from that kid. And let me just lock him in a room with him for a couple of hours. And the kid just, I can't do Gump's voice, but I'm Forrest Gump. But it was astonishing.
That's really
how
cool.
How brilliant is that?
That's really smart.
Very smart.
Yeah, I mean, well, now you're back to like, why is he Tom Hanks? Because he can do anything.
Totally.
You know? And you have no trouble picturing him in, I mean, okay, maybe there's some roles he that wouldn't fit for, but I mean, it's hard to imagine something that he couldn't get his arms around in a way that you'd at least want to see what he was doing with it.
Yeah, who was it on Tuesday who said, you know, said that Tom Hanks is really like a very, very intelligent child. He has that curiosity.
There's Big, don't forget.
Yeah. There you go. That's
one of his iconic roles, yeah.
You know? And but also he took some huge risks in his career. He was very successful doing those Bachelor movies and all those kind of funny things. And he finally said to the audience, he said, all that money was on the table. My agent said, you got to do more of these. He says, no. Right. And so he sat out for 1 year.
Right.
And then things like Philadelphia, which is a transformational movie. It's one of the great movies in the history of American acting.
If I haven't seen it in a while. Yeah.
Everybody who hasn't seen Philadelphia, go out and rent it soon. It is terrific. And it was during that thing he overlapped and did Gump.
That's right. Well, and also too,
Academy Awards.
How many, he's like action hero, romantic lead, character actor, large and small, you know, comic actor, war guy, you know, and
an American everyman.
I'm going to say villain. I'm sure he
Yes, he did. He did that one thing that I always forget the name of. That's one of my favorite Hanks films.
Yeah.
It's a very, very dark, it's like a depression.
Road to Perdition.
The Road to Perdition is astonishing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And it works.
Yeah. He's pretty much kind of done the whole,
and all
the
those
whole,
wonderful
whole
people
thing.
In it, and he holds his own.
That's true. That's right. I forgot about that. He's quite a guy, and he was in our town this week. How cool is that?
He was here, and he liked it. It was great fun.
That's
he had a good time. He wrote me an email the next day and said, you know, I had a really, really good time.
That's good.
You know, and that's so important because it's that personal touch. You know, because I hate to say, but life is about people.
Sure.
We think about buildings and this and places, and I live in this wonderful city, but Dayton has got some terrific people here.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he sensed that. He met a lot of them.
That's excellent. Now we got about a minute left. You don't know if he's going to actually do anything with Dayton and the HBO thing, but what's your hope?
My hope is this is the beginning of a beautiful relationship. That's my hope. What more can I say?
Okay.
You know, and more to come, you know.
I mean, it'd be really cool that if some of the locations here worked their way into the shooting schedule for the HBO show. That'd be really cool.
You better believe that your audience will know about it if it does happen.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm glad you came in. Thanks a lot.
I had a good time.
Absolutely. I always tell you, it goes really fast.
Now, do I see about the paycheck for this? Is there a bursar?
There's a bursar. Yeah, there's a form I'll have you fill out.
Or I pay them to be on the show.
We'll work that out. This has been Miami Valley Voices. We've been talking about Tom Hanks and his big visit to Dayton this weekend with the guy who brought him here, Stu McDowell, who's the chair and artistic director of the Department of Dance, Theater, and Motion Pictures at Wright State University.
Ron, it was great.
Absolutely. And we'll get you in once the CAC is all wrapped up and got a ribbon on it. Probably in about a year it'll be done?
It opens in September. It will be the completion time, so our whole next season.
Excellent.
You know, we'll be underwear. There.
Cool. We'll get you back to talk about it then.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, Stu. This has been Miami Valley Voices. As I told you, see you next week. We hope you'll join us then. Have a great week.